listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live from Las Vegas, 200 FSR stations, coast to coast, 6 Eastern, 3 here in Vegas. No messing around, crew, today. We got so much stuff. Usually it's 2 hours and 1 hour. Might even be a little more today, including the brawl in the Steelers game. We're going to get some quick thoughts on that, not overdo it. Joined in studio by the pros who know, Brad Powers. All the college knowledge. Steve Fezzik has 19 pieces of paper ready to go. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. Now, bottom of the hour, Colin Cowherd's pick number 6, world premiere. Speaking of Colin and their feud, Jonas Knox in L.A.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, we start on a Friday in the NFL. And normally we would lead with you hitting your pick yesterday, which was the under of the Steelers and the Browns on Thursday Night
Football.
We'll
get to that. Don't worry.
Yeah, but unfortunately that was dwarfed by the story at the end of the game with 8 seconds left. A brawl involving Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph, Marquise Pouncey, and others, resulting in an indefinite suspension for Myles Garrett, who hit Mason Rudolph in the head with Mason Rudolph's own helmet. So what is the Vegas perspective on the wild night in Cleveland?
Well, listen, first thing we got to say is they still paid me on the under.
That's it. Money. I'm about making money. That's the dream, y'all. That's the American dream.
But I've got the money, so we can talk about this. I'm going to go round table. All right? Let's say 11 words or less, and then if it's interesting, we'll dig into it. What was your impressions? Not what you think people want to hear. What was your impressions of the fight, Brad Powers?
Appalled, honestly. And actually, I think the suspension is fitting that it's through the rest of the season.
Appalled?
Yes.
So appalled that someone could possibly be violent on the football field?
Well, not violent, but we've hardly ever seen somebody actually use a helmet as a weapon against somebody else without a helmet.
So that, and just to be clear, if you take the helmet part away, is it even a suspension? Is it? Are we drilling into it was about the helmet?
I think that is. It's obviously that's the case.
Steve Fezzik.
Yeah, I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often in the passion in the NFL and these guys going at each other for 60 minutes. Frankly, RJ, I would think that this would be a more common occurrence.
You know, it's like a lot of things. Middlecoff, who's part of the Herd Podcast Network, I heard a clip from him today, and he was talking about, you are what you tolerate. And I think that's true, right? There's certain things. I mean, imagine there was a certain type of penalty that if you did, and it was a fairly innocent penalty. So it's not like you only do it, let's say clipping, right? Which is very specific. If you said you're out for the game if you clip, how much would clipping decrease?
Very much
75%.
So. A lot, no doubt. So I think in general, you're right. It takes a lot of discipline for these players that are fighting a war in the trenches to not let it spill over into more aggression even. But it's because hopefully, and we've seen it now, the league says no. Whatever your rationale, you do that, you're in big, big trouble. And we've seen it all the time. NBA, when it comes to coming off the bench during a fight, there was a certain period of time it was normal. They drew a very draconian line. You cross this line, both metaphorically and in a literal sense, don't go past this line or you're in big, big trouble. They did it during the playoffs against the Spurs. Hey, you're in big trouble. Boom. Forget about you. So I think the league, let's give them credit, reacting as aggressively as they have here, as they have in other spots similar, is why I think, Fez, we get less of this. Because you're right. That amount of aggression typically would lead to even more aggression. And I look at the helmet, and I think from what I could see, maybe getting the helmet off was the problem. Though obviously swinging the helmet's a huge problem. But if you watch that tape, it feels like they're trying to grab the helmet from him. And because he's got it in his mind, he kind of jerks it away. And then he kind of goes over the top with it, which again is egregious. But to me, if he would have ran up with the helmet in his hand, saw the guy on the ground and picked the helmet up over his head and slammed it in his face, it would have been criminal. We would have been probably, let's go to jail. But it would have been so much worse. This felt like one of those things where, and this is the case with the law, if there's a death during a felony, doesn't matter if the person collapsed from a heart attack that you're sticking up, it's murder. Because they're saying, if you do something this wrong, we can't even contemplate the potential consequences. Thus, by doing something this wrong, you're saying, I'm rolling the dice. And anything that happens that's bad is on me. So in a way, once you rip that helmet off, it doesn't really matter how much he intended to hit him in the head or the face. It's the fact it happened as part of that quote-unquote crime. I think it's justified for sure. I don't think it was his intent to maim him with the helmet. If it were, it should be criminal. Jonas Knox.
For a mediocre game involving mediocre teams, that was great TV to finish it off.
Okay, so a little bit of wrestling heel there. Let's zero into the true Jonas. I know whenever we try to dig into the true Jonas, you resist it.
It was great TV. I'm being honest. It was great TV, and I've said it before.
So you wish there was more of this?
I'm surprised there's not more of it, and I've said the same thing about...
Okay, but you wish there was more.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I don't mind it. It's like a NASCAR fight, you know?
That's Jonas Knox.
Makes for better TV.
That's Jonas Knox in Los Angeles. iHeartRadio employee. I'm RJ Bell. I work for pregame.com. And we have a contractual relationship with iHeart. Yes. No. All right. So here's what I'll say. In a weird way, you segue into one of the points I wanted to make, which was, and let's be honest, Brad, you grew up around a lot of Browns fans, didn't you?
Yep.
That's interesting. What percentage of the high school kids that talk to you, like the, or you could see from the jersey from a distance, like the Browns, would you say?
Probably like 65%.
And was it like Cowboys, Steelers?
Yeah, it was Cowboys, Steelers. Or Lions or the rest.
Lions?
Yeah.
That's demented.
Well, I was outside of Toledo.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Still, though, if you're...
Barry Sanders, they were good.
That's true. There was that little window. Yeah. Well, they weren't good. Let's not go over. You have to win a playoff game to be good.
They beat the Cowboys.
They did win one?
Yeah, they won one. Oh. And then they got killed by the Redskins in the NFC Championship game.
It's so funny if you could remember the one playoff game they won. It was a cold winter day, 28 degrees. I was 12 years old, 257 days. But the point I was going to make was there were thousands, and I mean thousands, of Browns fans saying, finally we're standing up to those mofo Steelers. They've been beating on us. And it really speaks to what really the league doesn't want spoken. This is violence. Probably the most violent part of the game. Did it get a penalty when the Steelers receiver's ear was bleeding? Did that hit get a penalty?
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
So no suspension from that, though.
No.
Right? So if part of the normal play of the game is someone's bleeding from their ear, this is a violent game. And Fez and Jonas said it, Fez more delicately, to some degree, this is what fans are looking for, violence. And to say that a fan is going to, especially of the Browns, is going to act all like, oh my God, there's gambling in Casablanca. No, they're saying finally. And I'll tell you this, right or wrong, the proudest I was of Pittsburgh in that game as a Steelers fan is when Pouncey went hog wild after they did go after his quarterback. But you know what? Did I see that right? Pouncey got three games.
Yeah.
Right. So we can say, oh, retaliation, you know, just because you're the second person. But to me, if Pouncey didn't go after him and try to hurt him, I'm upset at Pouncey as a Steelers fan, as a GM, as anyone associated with that team. Because you know what polices this to some degree? And it's maybe another part of Fez's thought is in these professional leagues, you cheap shot someone, you're going to get cheap shotted. And you don't know if your knee's going out and you're out for 15 months.
That's a great point. You're the target now.
And in a way, there's a, it's like mutually assured destruction. They talked about that in the 60s with the Cuba, or around the Cuban Missile Crisis and the whole Cold War. If you make it so each side has so many missiles that you can't win, that means you don't fight. If you cheap shot in the NFL, if your team's behind you, the player got cheap shot at his team, you don't, there's not much of it because that person's going to pay. Now we can say, well, that's violence. Yeah, probably like someone who has a sign in their window that says, gun owner, proceed at your own risk. I promise you, if someone's thinking of robbing places, they know that guy does have a gun, they're less inclined to go in. Now we can say, if all the guns were gone, it'd be so wonderful. Okay. Probably would be, but let's see that happen. Until it does, a gun can act as a deterrent. The cheap shot from one team being followed up by another team's cheap shot in retaliation is a deterrent. So there's a huge element of this that no one that's making money from the league wants to talk about. The violence is part of it. And the fact that these deterrents beyond the suspensions, the physical ones, decrease the amount of instances like this. And again, let's give the league credit. I think being so aggressive within, you know, usually it's three or four. I mean, I'm not going to compare and say they made a mistake or whatever, but when you have something like the Ray Rice thing or other elements of this that go on for months and months and months, the idea that, what, within a couple hours of business beginning in New York City, they had this done?
Yep.
The aggressiveness of it all, I think, bodes very well. Because to me, and this is my last point out on it, RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. If I think about someone going across the middle, getting hit, you know, let's say even Shazier, right? Almost lost his ability to walk. I don't think he's ever going to play again, but he's fighting.
Yep.
I kind of look at that and I say, it's like if you drive in a car, car wrecks happen. You're kind of taking the risk on. No one's fault. I wish him the best, but it doesn't make my stomach turn as much as it's all in the game. But if someone had hit Shazier from the back cheap and caused the exact same injury, I'd be like, you know, literally emotional. I'd be like, that guy should go to jail for 50 years. And there is something about if it's just part of the game versus the intent to maim. And I think that's the point. When you see that helmet and the play's over, it was an intent that maybe wasn't as intentional as it seemed, but boy, it certainly was intentional to some degree. And to me, that's egregious. And as much as I enjoy drama, I don't really enjoy that. It makes me a little queasy, the idea that we're all, it doesn't matter how, I'm not a tough guy. I mean, tougher than some, around this table especially, but I'm not a tough guy. But I don't care if you're Schwarzenegger. I don't care if you're a black belt. I don't care if you're Bruce Lee. In his prime, one person with a razor blade that walks up behind you and nicks your aorta or whatever, the best artery there, you're in trouble. Someone flicks a razor across your eye, you're in trouble. We're all so vulnerable as humans. To see that vulnerability exploited makes me a little queasy.
Yeah, and I think that's why we had such a problem with Perfect, with all of his cheap
shots.
Oh,
I certainly did.
There was intent to hurt.
Yes, especially with Perfect. When we come back, we always do a topic, and then the second one, it's Steve Fezzik's best bet. You might say best bets are at the end of the show. No, not on Friday. We have so many of them. We got to spread them out. Best bet coming up.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a moment, we will have the first of several best bets ahead of the weekend in the world of football.
Yeah, we got no time to waste, baby. Fast, fast, fast. Thanks for joining us every weekday. You can listen to 200 FSR stations nationwide. Also, FoxSportsRadio.com. Also, the iHeartRadio app. Also, SiriusXM and podcasts. Just search for RJ Bell. Right now, pick Palooza Friday here in Vegas, 75 degrees. The neon is pumping.
All right, RJ, let's get it started with a best bet, an early one from Steve Fezzik. It is always an early Friday tradition here on Straight Out of Vegas. And for that, we go to D.C., where the Redskins are a 1.5-point favorite hosting the Jets on pregame.com.
The Redskins are favored, Fez. Who do you got?
Yeah, I like the Jets. I bet the Jets as an underdog. It's all about a matchup edge for the Jets defense. RJ, I don't think I've said that all year long. Jets defense had the edge. Why? Because Washington, under interim coach Callahan, they've been pounding the rock. They run the ball more than they throw it. 14 more rushes than passes. What did the Jets...
So 14 more rushes per game than pass.
The last three games, yes.
Okay, and what's the league average?
60% pass. So Washington... So
this is massively different.
Massively different. Well, what's the one thing the Jets do well in defense? Stuff the run. The Jets are number one in the league in terms of rush yards allowed per carry, and number two in Football Outsiders ranking. So big advantage for the Jets to stuff the Washington run.
I like this play because to me, the market does a great job. Vegas, the Vegas betting market does a great job assessing how good teams are. It's pretty rare. I just think that team's a lot better in the NFL now or worse than the market. So now it's about situations, as in this team's tired, this team's not motivated, or it's matchups. Oh, they're going to have trouble against two tight ends. And in this case, it's basic. You've got a stubbornness with Washington. We are going to run. We're turning back the clock. We're hoping bell bottoms come back in style. They're doing everything they can. They don't have a hot tub or time machine, but they are trying to make that the case. The Skins are. It's not going to work. It hasn't worked at all, really. But it certainly won't work against an elite rushing defense. And the Jets are elite, top of the league. Fezzik, best bet. Now, I saw even 2.5 earlier. Has it dipped back down?
It's gone up. Actually, it's 2.5 right now. For whatever reason, they're betting the
Redskins. Well, it's not whatever reason. Is the lot of sharps disagree with you. It's Fezzik on one side, the rest of the shark community on the other. I say it's even money, but I actually personally like the Jets and agree with Faz.
We'll get to the rest of Sunday's action coming up here in a moment. I want to let you know Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone knows there are all different kinds of jobs out there. If you've got a today job, select free same-day store pickup. If you'd rather take care of the job tomorrow, you can order as late as 10 p.m. with free next-day delivery on AutoZone.com. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Let's go to Detroit, where the Lions are hosting the Cowboys. Dallas on the road, a 6.5-point favorite.
All right, so to me in this game, it's all about how good Dallas's offense is. Because early in the year, you heard a lot of talk about, oh, new coordinator. Oh, Dak, I wonder if he's really going to deserve a new contract and how, or not deserve, but how big will that new contract be, et cetera. If you listen to the per play guys, the guys that are looking at the plays like the next gen stats, Dak is having one of the two or three best seasons of any quarterback in the NFL. This isn't, is he above average anymore? This is, could he be the best? That's a reasonable conversation that Dak Prescott could be the MVP. I'm hearing people talk about it. Not saying that's necessarily going to happen, but that's a different conversation than it was even a month ago. And considering the fact that a lot of the talk earlier was Dallas's defense is finally good, Sean Lee doesn't even start. That kind of talk about how good the linebackers are. Well, is that true? Because if so, this might be one of the best teams in the NFL. If you have one of the best quarterbacks and one of the best defenses, but they're 5-4. How much of that is the vagaries of luck? How much of that is Garrett is so bad? I don't know. But let's keep an eye on Dak because he's not the same old Dak. At least that's not what the film says.
To the NFC South we go, where the Carolina Panthers are 4.5-point favorites hosting the Falcons.
This to me is about which Atlanta team we see. Now I'll tell you this. I've seen a lot of bad boyfriends in my day, couples, and I would observe. Maybe I saw a little bit of myself in some of those bad boyfriends, because I've certainly been less than perfect as a boyfriend, as a husband. But what I'll say is this. If you have 8 or 9 instances of one thing and you have one of the other, yeah, I think the 8 or 9 is more likely the truth. And to me, the idea of Atlanta being what we saw yesterday or last week, as opposed to the whole season otherwise, uh-uh. But I look at this line and I'm thinking, it's not much more than 3. Carolina has a pretty good home field. We know Cam being on the shelf means that loss in Lambeau. You've got to upgrade Carolina, I think, off that loss in Lambeau. They almost won in Lambeau.
6 inches.
And to me, if you have a motivated Carolina team and a questionable motivation with Atlanta, maybe last year was, this is our bowl, or last week, this is our bowl game. I don't know. But I think the line is right if Atlanta's a lot better than they seem the whole year and motivated. Because they're still not as good as Carolina. If they're not that good or if they're not motivated, that's two ways Carolina can be a good pick. I know some wise guys like Atlanta here. I don't get it.
Nick Foles is back, but the Jaguars are 3-point underdogs at the Colts.
Now, as much as the stash got a lot of love, Fez, you a master at assessing quarterback value. How much of an upgrade or downgrade from the stash to Foles?
2.5-point upgrade for Foles.
All right. So as much as Foles feels like potentially a bad signing, you trusted Foles. What happened? He got hurt. People get hurt. Brady's gotten hurt. Aaron Rodgers gotten hurt. Everybody does. The fact that he got hurt doesn't change who Nick Foles is. We don't know who he is. Amazingly, he threw 7 or 8 passes before he got hurt. He had the best stats of anyone in the NFL, if you actually don't care about the number of passes. So there's nothing he's done to make Foles seem like a bad signing. If he's 100% health-wise, I think there's cause for optimism.
Broncos at the Vikings, Minnesota, a 10.5-point favorite.
Brad, you've been, I think, the leader when it comes to stats on Zimmer. Zimmer, very underrated coach. In fact, he's the best coach against the spread since he became a head coach. This game, it's even better.
Yeah, so in this spot, Zimmer at home against a non-division opponent, 79% against the spread.
How many games?
31.
80% nearly, and the rationale is simple. You're not familiar with non-division teams. That means how well can you coach? How quickly can you come up with an effective game plan that is accounting for the other team? Not just the basics, but beyond the basics. Zimmer seems to do exceptionally well relative to the opponent. 80% covers, non-division at home. And the home is a sneaky home field.
Yep.
And they've got a little bit more time to prepare because they're not traveling. It all makes sense to me.
And a rookie player here, Brandon Allen, his first road start for Denver. Not a good spot for it.
And as Brad never tires of saying, his hands are bigger than little Flipper's hands.
The Buffalo Bills are 6.5-point favorites at the Miami Dolphins.
Here's the question. How much does the prior game between these two matter? Because if you just glance at the final, you'd say, Miami was a big favorite. Or check that, Buffalo was a big favorite. They won pretty handily. If you dig into the box score of that game, Miami, who was a 17-point underdog, was in a group of 40 other teams in our database that's been 17-point or greater dogs. The best stats of any of the 40 teams, first downs, yardage, net, etc., was Miami in that game. So some of it was Miami was underrated, but the adjustment hasn't been that drastic. Right? The idea of a 6-point swing gets it down to 11, right? 17 becomes 11 when you play in Miami. Now it's a 5-point adjustment. Yeah, maybe Miami's been upgraded some. They certainly have. But Buffalo's been downgraded since, too. So it feels like maybe a 3-point upgrade for Miami, 2-point downgrade for Buffalo. I'm not sure that's enough. I think there's real value on Miami. And part of that is how well they played against this Buffalo team statistically the last time they played.
Texans at the Ravens. Baltimore is a 4-point favorite.
All right. To me, this is about, and Brad, you had a stat that you want to put a caveat
on. Yeah.
But this is amazing. Colin had this, and his pick number 6 is coming up in a few minutes. First time released ever. To me, this stat still is applicable, and this is a game Colin picked when it comes to the idea of Deshaun Watson as an underdog, Deshaun Watson, even when he doesn't win games.
Yeah, so if you just take out that playoff game last year against the Colts.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
We're all right, so let's say one game's out.
Deshaun Watson hasn't lost by more than 7 points since his sophomore year in high school in any game.
So he was like 15 years old the last time.
Yes.
Well, if you just look at the NFL games, Watson as an underdog, doesn't matter how big, 10-2 against the spread. I also think, though, with O'Brien, yeah, he's done pretty well off a bye, but man, this is a war, I think, because why? This is pretty much for the number 2 seed in the AFC. At least it's going to make a big difference. So I think both teams are motivated.
Coming off their first loss of the season, the 49ers are 10-point favorites hosting the Cardinals.
Now, this is a great trend. This might be the trend of the week. What do you expect when a good team loses? We talk about it all the time. Bounce back. Redemption. In fact, one of the key elements of the New England handicap with Philly is how well Belichick's teams perform off a loss. But when a team is undefeated, 4-0 or better, and they lose that first game, they actually are flat oftentimes the next game. Why? It's like a little mini dream crusher. They start dreaming about taking those champagne flutes and smashing them over the heads of the former 72 dogs. I mean, it's like at some point you want to shut those guys up, right? And then when you lose that game, it's like, it's not going to happen. And you're usually so ahead enough, though the 49ers aren't here, where you're like, you don't have to get extra motivated for the next game. And here they're double-digit favorites. So are we really thinking about motivation as the key? I think 49ers very well may be flat. And the statistics long term, the trend certainly backs that up. Undefeated teams lose their first game. They do poorly the next game.
It's a Super Bowl 52 rematch between the Patriots and the Eagles. The road team, New England, is a 4-point favorite.
This is what I call, Fez oftentimes will try to stop me from saying this. This is what I call the good coach superfecta. All right, so good coach, I kind of get that. What's this, or the trifecta, we'll call it, because there's three. It's kind of super. One off a bye. Belichick is good off a bye. He's excellent straight up, but not great. Okay, but still good. Off a loss, Belichick's unbelievable. You got that stat off a loss?
66% against the spread.
This is his entire time with the Patriots.
Since they won their first Super Bowl, going back to 2002.
All right, think about that. 17 years. 2 out of 3 times off a loss. And then revenge. You might say revenge. Super Bowl revenge. And what was the narrative off of the Super Bowl? That maybe Belichick got outcoached.
Mm-hmm.
You think he likes that? And oh, by the way, if he did get outcoached, in my opinion, that coach is in Indianapolis right now. Frank Reich, I don't think you can look at the Eagles since he left and say they're the same level of coaching, not even close.
Yeah, and Patriots have had 2 revenge games this year. They beat Pittsburgh 33-3. They beat Miami 43-0.
Thanks for reminding me about that Pittsburgh game.
And finally, to Sunday Night Football we go, where the Rams are a 6-point favorite hosting the Bears.
To me, this is the sneaky, sharp game. I was on Boston Radio, the Fox affiliate, the Sports Hub, new Fox affiliate, and love those guys. Great radio in Boston. And one of them had the Rams. And you would think, that doesn't sound all that sharp. I think it's a sneaky, sharp play. You know why? Because I think Chicago is much worse than perception. You might say perception isn't all that good. Yeah, if you look at the stats, in one of the last 2 games, they had like 262 yards of offense. Like, that's it. The other game, they had like 310 the last 2. But they won. They won against a guy, quite frankly, that couldn't beat out the backup quarterback for the Bengals and got sent to Detroit, but still, people just think they won. And it looked like they won handedly, but they hardly got any yards. On the other hand, the Rams lost, but Pittsburgh was opportunistic in that game. The Rams outgained them. And if you look at the three games since the trade for Ramsey, the Rams have exceeded expectations. Recency bias, last game, both of them deceiving, offers us value here. Is there a, you think it'll be a 5.5 out there, Fez, at any point?
No.
If I see a 5.5, I'll be making a mighty big bet on the Rams. Now, we're going to hear Colin Cowherd and I go back and forth on a game. I disagree with it. It's going to be pick number 6 from Colin.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 10 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have more best bets, a little bit of coin to make here on a busy weekend in the world of not only in the NFL, but in college football as well. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Football world premiere, Colin Cowherd's pick number 6. Heard here first. Let's listen.
Let's go! Go!
No.
Hey, that's great football now!
It's Collins.
Bonus pick only for RJ Bell.
Pick number 6.
Finally, bonus pick. I think I'd take the Saints -6 at the Bucs. Bounce back. I also think, Greg Cosell talked about it this week, they didn't attempt to run the ball. They were too pass happy. I think they, you know, Sean Payton has one of these games about every year. They just decide they want to be CFL football. I think they're a physical team at the point of attack, and they weren't against Atlanta. I would probably take the Saints to cover here. I don't trust the Bucs D, although I like their D coordinator, Todd Bowles. What would you go on? What would the wise guys say?
I'm going to disagree on that, though I agree with you. Last week was a very strange game for the Saints. And oh, by the way, this week's Greg Cosell on the Herd.
Yeah.
Best Greg Cosell I've heard. You've got to keep pushing back on him. He's so diplomatic, but you did this week and he gave you some really good stuff.
He did. Mason Rudolph, by the way, stinks.
I hear you. I went back in the database and I said, find me a time the Saints passed the ball 35 or more times compared to running the ball. So last week they passed 46, they ran 11, right? So plus 35 to the pass. It's been 6 years since that was the case. So they've protected Drew Brees from that kind of situation. And oh, by the way, if you go back those 6 years, it happened 4 times right in that time period. The next game, they averaged 146 yards rushing. So what I find fascinating, and for the fantasy guys out there, is when they do go so disproportionate, the Saints, where they pass so much more than the run, they tend to run next week to kind of reestablish it. So I expect a lot of running. The only thing that keeps me off of the Saints here is, last thing on this game, consider how different this line is than it was not that long ago. Not that long ago, Tampa Bay went into New Orleans and the line was the Saints -3. Now, I know Teddy Bridgewater was the quarterback, but apparently Teddy Bridgewater's really good, everyone thinks. So now the Saints are -6 on the road, which means a 9-point swing. Is Drew Brees really worth 9 points? No, over Teddy Bridgewater. Have the Saints gotten a lot better since then? Maybe, but they just got beat last week. And finally, is Tampa Bay much worse? I don't think so, at least stats-wise, turnover-wise, maybe. Stats-wise, they're fine. So to me, this feels like it's a numbers play, and it's gone too far the other way in the Saints' favor.
RJ Bell, pregame.com. The show is Straight Out of Vegas on Fox Sports Radio, 6 to 7 Eastern. Our friend here on a Saturday morning. Thanks, RJ.
No Wally Pipp situation. Thanks, Colin.
Thanks, bud.
All right, guys. Good stuff there from Colin. The podcast this week I thought was excellent. Fez did it last week. I did not want any Wally Pipp type situation, so I brought it. When we come back, best bets for me, best bets from Brad Powers, and more.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted, and it's money-making time next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. We continue on a Pickpalooza here on a Friday, and we now have a best bet from Brad Powers.
Maybe we should have a little Jane's Addiction, right? Perry Farrell is the one who started the Lollapalooza. That could be something we do on Fridays. Yeah. Brad Powers, best bet.
Iowa -3 hosting the unbeaten Minnesota Gophers, and it all comes down to schedule and how these teams have done against those schedules so far this season. Iowa has played one of the toughest schedules in the country, and I'd argue Iowa's been unfortunate. Why? In the games decided by 7 points or less, Iowa's 1-3 in those coin flip games. On the other side, Minnesota has played a weak schedule outside the top 60. And keep in mind, there's 65 Power 5 teams, and Minnesota's played one of the weakest schedules of all those teams.
So their schedule, Minnesota, ranked is 60th?
Yep, 60th.
Okay.
So not good. Or average, if you want to compare it to the entire college football.
But in general, if you're in a big conference like the Big Ten,
you should have tougher
just intrinsically in the conference. And,
yes,
and Big Ten strong this year generally.
And even though Minnesota's played a weak schedule, they've been extremely fortunate. They're 5-0 in games decided by 7 points or less. That creates value on Iowa. Iowa, my best bet, -3.
So think about this. You should 5-0, you should be 2.5 wins. So they've had 2.5 extra wins. I know you can't have a half win, but that's a good way to think about it. And 3-1 out of 4 for Iowa, or 1-3, means you've had one less win. Yep. So there's been about 3.5 wins here that's been about luck that all point to Minnesota being relatively worse than they seem compared to Iowa. So is this just a pure power ratings play?
Yes, it would be, because I think the power ratings line, if that luck would have evened out, would have Iowa favored by about a touchdown here.
And the game is exactly what now?
Iowa -3.
That's Brad Powers. Quick question, 30 seconds. Georgia-Auburn, probably the biggest game of the weekend. Give us a high-level handicap.
I like Auburn +3.
You like them, you bet.
I do. Like them, bet Auburn +3. And it's all about the Georgia defense getting a lot of love here recently. I think it's been phony. Why? In two of their last three games, Georgia's defense has played backup quarterbacks. That's why I think there's value on Auburn.
It's all about perception, baby, is when people misperceive, it's a chance to make money.
We'll get to another best bet here on Straight Outta Vegas. Before we do that, I want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone knows there are all different kinds of jobs out there. If you've got a today job, select free same-day store pickup. If you'd rather take care of the job tomorrow, you can order as late as 10 p.m. with free next-day delivery on AutoZone.com. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Best bet time from the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Thank you, Jonas. I'm going with a rare double-digit favorite. Best bet in NFL, the Oakland Raiders. Laying, what do we got now, Fez?
11.5.
Ooh, I was giving this out of 10.5. Well, 11's a dead number, but it's still worth something. Here's my thinking. I believe the Bengals are the worst team in the NFL. I've believed that for weeks and weeks. Fez, you were resistant, wouldn't you agree?
But I was.
They were your best bet last week, if I recall.
Oh, don't bring that up.
But I tried to talk them off of it. No chance to do it. By the way, best the Ravens had the very best DVOA of all teams last week, and we're not sure if they were flat. That's how bad the Bengals are. But that it's not just bet against the Bengals. It's that the Raiders are in a rare good spot. They had the long 20,000-plus mile trip, a month or whatever between home. I think it was 6 weeks between actual home games. And then that first home game, they were tired. This is now a third straight home game. And it's the only time this entire season the Raiders have been favored by more than a field goal. So they're not going to be like, oh, another team. It's going to be a chance to stomp on someone. Not literally, but maybe. And to me, whenever you lay a big number, you have to ask yourself, why does this team want desire margin? Raiders want to stretch your legs a little bit because there have been so many close games. Best bet, Raiders. Brad, real quick, Brad Powers straight out of Vegas. Alabama, everyone would say, oh, you talked about the trifecta off a loss. Nick Saban off a loss, surprisingly not good.
Yeah, so since his first year, Nick Saban and Alabama off a loss, just 3-7 against the spread, RJ.
And he didn't do well the first year either, but I thought the years after were more telling because each loss, in a way, for Saban and Alabama after the first year was like a mini dream crusher. Like losing this game means your ultimate goal winning a title gets a lot tougher. And instead of bouncing back, it's like they have a hangover from it. I like fading Alabama here a little bit on Saturday. Great week, Jonas. Hey, Jonas had an especially good week, and he sat on his 40% 2-3 record.
Damn straight, riding it all the way to the finish line. If you miss any of today's show, check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. We are back on Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!